On today's episode of the Natty Boys Podcast, we discuss the impact of the Cincinnati Reds' decision to part ways with manager Brian Price. We provide an update on the NHL and NBA playoffs, including the Blue Jackets, who have let the Caps come back and tie the series 2-2. And we wrap up the show with a fantasy draft of our favorite sports traditions and superstitions. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
And welcome to the show. Today is Friday, April 20th, and
420.
Brian Price is dead.
Happy 420, everybody.
Yeah.
That's kind of a dick move of the Reds to get rid of Price right before it's 420 like that. Now he's not going to be able to celebrate it, you know, with the same
spirit. He doesn't have to worry about a random drug test now from the Reds.
It's true. Do managers get drug tested?
Maybe he requested it.
His next employer, though, he may be in trouble.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I wish they almost treated coaches and managers like they do the minor league players, where they just send his ass down to AAA to manage. You see?
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
He's in Louisville.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Just hanging out in Louisville.
With Brian Price, we kind of all knew that this was going to come at some point soon. You know, Barry Larkin's been chomping at the bit pretty hard to get this job. I don't know that he'll end up being the pick at the end of the season because they're still going to suck pretty bad by the time that the season's over. I don't see any. I mean, they may trade away some pieces if things don't work out the way they want them to. But Jim Riggleman has been the... He's been the gap guy a few different times in his career now.
Yeah, where, the fourth time, yeah. I think he's been the...
Yeah, where he's been named like interim manager after the manager's been fired from teams.
So let's do our true Cincinnati predictions. He wins 15 games and gets a 5-year deal with the Reds. This is essentially what will happen.
Everything that Dick Williams
hundreds
said...
of records.
And Barry will be a Cub or something.
Everything that Dick Williams led us to believe today and everything they've said... Makes it seem like the new manager is not going to be anyone that's in this current regime. I've seen John Farrell's name tossed around a lot. They hired him as a scout earlier in the year after he left Boston.
Boston.
And that wouldn't shock me, but I also they told him, you know, you're not going to be the coach this year when they hired him. So I don't know if it's one of those things where they thought, we don't want him filling in on an interim basis because it's going to be a shit show. So if they do hire him, it will be, you know, with a full season, fresh slate in spring training, hopefully some key free agent additions if some of the younger guys aren't ready to go. But I don't know. I so badly want Barry Larkin to be the manager of this team, but I don't think – I want to see him on the team, be the manager of the team with Joey Votto at the helm. But so that window is closing. But I don't think that taking over this current situation, even at the end of the year, like, you know, going into the 2019 season, unless there's some drastic changes made, I fear for that because everyone's going to expect him to take them straight to the playoffs, and that's not the case. Yeah. Like, that's not the team they are right now or next year. So,
I think Barry's smarter than that, too. I don't know that he would want to really be put in that position.
Yeah.
I think he would take the job right now if they offered it.
I mean, if they're going to give it to you now, I mean, you kind of have to take it because if they give it to somebody else, I mean, what are the odds that they're going to fire him after a year? Probably not very well. So, I mean, you may miss your opportunity there. If that guy happens to be the one at the helm when things start turning around and they stick with it, then that could be a missed opportunity. So, from Barry's perspective, he gets offered it. I mean, you kind of have to take it. I don't know what they would do otherwise. It's not like you're going to say, hey, you're just going to come in here for a year while we let the team get better for Barry. So it's kind of a shitty timing, but there's not really much you can do about that.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
And this doesn't change anything immediately for the Reds. They're still going to suck, I think, the rest of the season. You know, there will be some in-game changes that, you know, the bullpen will be used differently under Riggleman, because that was some of the question is, you know, what the fuck is Price doing bringing in some of these guys that he brings in at times. So, like, in-game situations will change. The starting lineup may change. You know, we might not see Billy leading off anymore, which is always a complaint. But, I mean, as far as day-to-day shit, this team is still not going to be good.
Yeah.
Right. That's one thing I really do struggle with, and I talked about that on Twitter today. I'm not a fan of the Mac Jenkins getting the hook, too.
Yeah.
I don't think that he had anything to do with this current situation. Man. He
looking at the roster of pitchers that he developed, it's
like
just
everybody
fucking
incredible. That was good in the last. Exactly. You got the Cueto, the Volquez. Well, even though we got Volquez from a trade, but. Yeah, Cueto, Homer, basically anyone that's been any good through the Reds organization in the last 10 years, pitching-wise, has been brought through by him.
Right.
Yeah. Whether it was in the minors or, you know, when he was up on the major league team.
Yeah.
That would seem like collateral damage. I don't know, unless there were things, like I said today earlier, unless there were things we just didn't know about where players were complaining about, you know, maybe he was forcing them to, you know, throw things that they weren't comfortable with.
Sure.
Forcing them to do work that they didn't think was helping them. But even then, I mean, that seems more like an issue with the players than the guy. The guy's track record speaks for itself. So,
right.
I'm not sure why he got the axe when no one else on the staff did. I thought that was kind of weird. But, I mean, you couldn't really get rid of Riggleman because, you know, he was going up and neither of the base coaches were gone. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. It's interesting.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think anything immediately is going to change. But
I will say for Brian Price is that he wasn't put in a position to win by the organization, by the higher ups.
No. Definitely not.
And I mean, he's always been a good guy, as Woody pointed out earlier on Twitter. He has one of the greatest post game tirades that's ever happened in Cincinnati.
Yeah,
at least.
Awesome.
Yep. But how many times? Woody? 77.
I've been as candid as I can be about this team and our players, and we got to deal with this. Every team that we play has to know every guy that's here and what they can and can't do. Me. It's a disgrace. I'm sick of this. It's hard enough to win here to have every opponent know exactly what the we bring to the table every day. I don't like it. That's what I'm saying. Make it very clear. I don't like the way that this is going at all.
Yeah, that's a lot of times to say the F word in a post game press conference. But,
that's touching Big Lebowski level almost.
But yeah, he may have been in over his head, but he also wasn't set up to have a great team and to be a successful manager.
Right. And I'm honestly surprised he made it this far, because. It's really been kind of downhill ever since Dusty left. So,
yeah,
I'm surprised he made it as long as he did.
That's kind of what makes you nervous a little bit is, sure, they've got some young talent coming up through the works, but they've had that, you know, this whole time. I mean, they've had young guys that have had promise that come up, but I think overall the front office hasn't done a great job of keeping all that intact. And, So I don't know how just getting rid of Price changes that overall.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't change much.
Yeah, and I had saw people complaining the other night about who he bat at with runners in scoring position. It's like, who was he going to bat? He doesn't really have that many options.
Right.
Bat out of order just because your season's in the shit.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome if you could. But
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, watching the Jackets right now, the Capitals just scored another fucking goal, and they're now up 3-0, but the series, you know, likely after tonight will be tied at 2, both, you know, home teams taking losses. So we're going to do some playoff updates and just talk a little bit about the NHL and NBA playoffs that are going on right now. The Jackets look fucking strong as shit coming, you know, playing in Washington, and then they come home and seem to have wet the bed.
Yep. And honestly, like, just looking at all the series as a whole, this Jackets Capitals one really seems to be the most competitive. Obviously, every single game besides this one probably going to overtime so far. I mean, you can't get much more evenly matched than that. It is kind of odd that the away teams won every single game so far. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that trend keeps up because obviously the Jackets have two more away games. But I kind of said going in, the winner of this game is going to win the series. So I realize now that I'm wrong about that. But, but yeah, it's, I mean, this isn't a good look. And obviously, you know, there's still 16 minutes left in the game and 3-goal lead's not insurmountable, but you'd like them at least be to finish competitive. That way they don't lose all the momentum because it's going to be tough. I mean, going back to Washington, mm-hmm. I don't think you sweep Washington on the road. So, I don't know. It's not looking great right now, but.
No, I had high hopes when they came back 2-0. I thought for sure.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, they're going to go 1-1 here and just have to win one more. And
Yep. Honestly, when it got 2-0, I was pretty confident that it was going to be a sweep. I was going to take both games in Columbus and rest up for the Pittsburgh series, but yeah, we'll see.
Won big again last night, didn't they?
Yeah.
I know they were up 4-0 when I turned it off.
Yeah. And that's where, looking at the other series, you have the Sharks and the Knights. They're already in the next round. They both swept. You've got Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, Nashville, and the Jets. They're all up 3-1, so there really hasn't been that much many interesting games or series so far. Boston's up 2-1 right now, and I think they're playing tonight. I'm not sure. I think last I looked, they were winning. So if they win that, they'll go up 3-1 as well. So it's really not many close series right now.
And I know we had talked about a key for the Jackets was, you know, facing a tired Pittsburgh team, but the Jackets have gone to overtime.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't bode well for being fresh in the second round.
And that's what makes me nervous. And I just don't feel like they've been consistent in the entire series. And, I mean, yeah, there's been flashes, and like the other night, Panarin was playing outside of his mind, but it makes me nervous that they haven't been consistent and they have this time. Like the other night I was talking about before we started recording, they were outshot like 54-27 or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And it's just been very inconsistent hockey, and I think it's hurting them.
They couldn't hit more posts if they tried.
I know. Yeah. I know. They hit four posts the other night.
They've hit at least one today. I don't know if they had a second one.
And it was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. There's just no luck.
I mean, and what's killing them is the way they've been starting each game because the first two, and granted they won the first two, but the first two games, Washington got out to a 2-0 lead each time. And then on Tuesday, they got out to a 1-goal lead. So the Blue Jackets have started out in the hole every single time, and they've been able to come back each time and win the first two and take it to overtime in the second one. But you can see tonight is catching up to them, so you can't keep playing like that. You got to get a lead and get some momentum and carry that through at some point, and they haven't done that today so far.
That's one of the things that Jody Shelley said before the game tonight is that, you know, this crowd, you know, the crowd is pumped up. Come out and get a fucking lead and, you know, keep the crowd in it for the entire game. And that just hasn't happened.
The crowd's been
being down 3-0 now.
Yeah. As soon as the Caps got their first goal, you could tell the crowd was just out of it. So, you know, they're going to have to get a couple quick ones if they want to get that turned around right now. But, you know, we'll see.
So frustrating. I don't know why I didn't expect it. I mean,
it's just tough being us as fans. Every team we root for.
Other than the Jackets, things are looking good right now, at least for me, from a picks perspective. I don't know. I think everyone's pretty much their picks are doing well. I forget what you guys picked. So
I did Winnipeg, Boston, I believe.
Yeah, I had Boston, Golden Knights.
Yeah, that's what I had too. So Boston, like I said, if they win tonight, they'll go up 3-1, and the Knights have swept. So at least
I'm getting excited by the Golden Knights. I had said I didn't want them to win because of the whole Jackets, you know, start of their franchise thing, but They're just fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a fun story. Like, you know, and again, the whole concept of a team winning the championship in the first ever season is,
yeah.
I'd like to see that. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Sometimes so, their account's fun to follow on Twitter, too.
I've been paying pretty close attention to the NBA playoffs, you know, as much as I can. There's been games on every night, and, you know, this past Saturday and Sunday, they had four games each day kind of kicking it off. And after Indiana beat Cleveland in game one of that series, I thought, you know, this could be the year that LeBron exits in the first round, because he hasn't done that since, like, his rookie season or something dumb like that.
Yeah.
But
then game two came, and LeBron actually looked like he wanted to be in Cleveland.
Yep.
Like,
And the NBA is actually doing smart things with their scheduling. They're spacing the games out as much as they can. I know they're a little handcuffed in the weeknights with time slots, but on the weekends there was basketball on all day and into the night. In hockey, it's like they're all starting at 7 or 7:30. Like, why? I don't understand why they're doing it. They're making it. They're trying to grow the game in America, and they're just stacked on top of each other to the point where people are all, and it's frustrating, because as a hockey fan, I want to see them become a little more mainstream. So, I mean, a little more availability, a little more highlight packages, and without just going to the NHL Network,
right. Or the Golf Network.
Yeah, or the Golf Network.
The Golf Channel. They've been playing games on there. It's like, if you don't know where to find the games at, how are you going to watch them?
I forget. Was it the Sharks or the Knights?
I'm a hockey player.
Someone was tweeting. I forget if it was the Sharks or the Knights. But they're like, oh, yeah, they could be the first team to ever clinch a series on the Golf Channel. I forget which team it was that played on the Golf Channel. I think it was the Sharks. But, yeah, that's just weird to me. But no, you said that, you know, how they have all the games going on at the same time. But Saturday they've got the Blue Jackets going on at 3, which I'm not a huge fan of. I prefer an evening game there. But
I'd rather be pissed off for more hours before I fall asleep.
Maybe it'll make you more tired.
So other series that are going on. I mean, there hasn't been a ton of compelling series in the NBA playoffs right now.
It's been pretty chalk.
You know, the Raptors have looked good. Golden State looks good against San Antonio. One of the biggest stories is, you know, a sad story is Greg Popovich's wife passed away yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's not coaching tonight against Golden State. He's taking some time off, and they were already down 2-0 or 1-0. So, I mean, that's such a sad, horrible thing that happened. Yeah. Apparently she had been sick for a while, but there's not a ton of details coming out about what happened. But that's tough. Seeing, LeBron and – go ahead.
No. Or did you have something?
I was going to say, just like seeing LeBron and Kevin Durant like react when they heard the news because Pop coached Team USA with them on it.
Yeah.
You know, that it's, you know, kind of sent a shockwave through the NBA family.
I felt bad for our girl, Allie LaFour. She got thrown under the bus bad with everyone.
She did.
Assumed,
that was bullshit.
Everyone assumed that she just dropped that news on LeBron. Like, he had no idea. And everyone was going after her saying that's unprofessional, and they should be ashamed that they even did that. And then a video came out from the other angle where you could tell her, she was giving him the news and asking if he would be okay saying something about it. And then it came out, and the first time I've ever been like, all right, LeBron, I respect you. I dig you. He actually came out and said today, like, she cleared that. Yeah. That question was cleared. I was aware that it was coming. It wasn't a shock to me. And so it was nice to see. I always get a little protective of our fellow Ohio University graduates in the media, no matter who they are now.
Yeah.
I don't think that's, I mean, this is a little off topic because it's not NBA, but everybody, there's a lot of hate for Tom Brenneman on Twitter. and I don't dislike Tom. I can see where he can be annoying at times when he just talks and talks, but
like NFL, like,
try filling 9 innings of miserable baseball.
I know.
And what are you going to talk about? But, and people that don't know, he's an OU grad as well. So the only one I can't really defend right now is, Matt Lauer. I don't know if I really,
he's don't one that, him anymore.
The student,
talk about him.
The school colors don't really matter on that one.
Yeah.
you'd think he was an engineer with the way he rigged up that door contraption, but, but no, he was journalism school.
Yeah. So, back to Tom real quick, though. I was going to say earlier, if you check Reds Twitter, like, the past week or two, it's been nothing but fire Brian Price and shut up Tom with the H capitalized. So Tom Brenneman better watch his back, because now they don't have Brian Price to go after. So I think Reds Twitter and their full power is coming after him now.
Yeah, I think he's next. Bust.
He's going to have to hide behind his dad, which I've said this before, but one of the weirdest things ever is when Tom and Marty call a game together and Tom calls Marty dad on the air for some reason. Yeah. And I don't know what
daddy,
I expect.
Though, at least.
That, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what Brantley calls
thanks,
him.
Thanks, daddy.
Yeah, exactly. Brantley. But yeah, like, I don't know what I would expect him to call him. Like, I think it would be weird for him to call him Marty, but hearing him say dad on the radio or on TV, it's just... It doesn't seem to fit. No. It seems weird.
I agree. It is a little odd.
So shut up, Tom.
Yeah. Yes, the guy that
Tom.
Is the guy that's good enough to do the Fox National game every single week is not good enough for our Reds baseball team. That's what cracks me up every single time.
I know. Yeah. You know, like,
but yeah, the NBA with the whole Popovich stuff, that sucks. It's sad. I mean, I've also seen a lot of people lashing out saying, see, now this might explain why he's been so mean to reporters in the last couple of weeks. Like, dude has been a dickhead for his entire career.
That's how he is. He's just now getting caught out for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of almost became that mob mentality where the first person said it and then everyone looked around like, oh, you guys agree too? Okay, I think Popovich is a dickhead too. So, but yeah, that's one of those things that it sucks, and I do feel bad for him and his family, and obviously it sucks, and nobody, no matter how big of a dickhead you are to the media, deserves to lose their wife like that. But but yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, well, maybe everyone keeps saying LeBron's going to go to the Spurs to be with Pop. Like, the Spurs are on the downward trend. I mean, you don't know what's going to go on with Kawhi.
Kawhi being fed up.
Like, wouldn't doubt, like, Pop just riding off into the sunset with this, like with it, depending, I mean, it might make him rethink, you know, things about life, and maybe he takes a cushy job that doesn't require any travel or something like that in the front office, and maybe gets more involved with USA Basketball. But it wouldn't shock me if this
he's
was
the longest tenured coach in the NBA. I think he's been the coach of the Spurs since 1996 or 97. So, I mean, he's been there 20 years. If he wants to quit, no one's going to be like, oh, you shouldn't quit. You know, four rings, however many he got.
Yep.
There's not a ton more that he can accomplish.
Right. Yep.
Just like Marvin.
Looking at the other playoff series, there's a handful of 2-0 series, a handful of 1-1 series. But the only one that really seems like a surprise, at least just from a seeding standpoint right now, is the Pelicans being up 2-0 on Portland.
Rondo's having a throwback series. You know, everyone kind of thought he was washed up, but he ends up showing up, and Drew Holiday has been a difference maker. Anthony Davis obviously is the best player probably on the court whenever he plays. But
not to take it away from that series, but Dwayne Wade's having a resurgence as well.
He is. Yeah, that's nice to see. God, the 76ers are so insufferable. Night.
Yeah,
I really want the Heat to win that series.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yep. I know. Did you know that Joel Embiid is the first guy ever to wear a face mask like that?
Yeah.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. Crazy. LeBron was the first ever, and Embiid's the... Embiid.
Rip Hamilton's probably rolling over in his grave right now.
Rip Hamilton is very much alive. He lives in Tampa, Florida.
There was one time tonight on the court that I guess Embiid's mask came off. And Justice Winslow from the Heat, like, kind of stepped on it trying to break it.
Oh,
so like, you could tell he was purposely, like, trying to snap it. And I guess, I don't know if Embiid kept playing, because that orbital fracture, you know, if you could hit the right way, you can lose your sight.
Yeah, that's what was going on with Dubinsky for the Jackets this year.
Yeah,
he's actually got a plate behind his eye to the point where he can't get hit in the eye because there's nothing for it to, give on it. But
right.
But yeah, that would be funny if it snapped his mask. That would be, I can't imagine. I would hope that they have a backup, but I don't know. I don't know what they have there, but that's an instance where the Heat probably wish they would have signed Glenn Davis for get his big ass just to crunch down.
Yeah. Yep. So we're in the middle of the NBA and the NHL playoffs, and you know, during playoff time, you see a lot of sports traditions and superstitions come out. So in honor of that, our fantasy draft today is going to be our favorite sports superstitions and traditions. And we're going to go ahead and let Hefe kick things off.
I am going to pick one from a former Reds manager, in the spirit of Brian Price being fired. And I'm going to go with the toothpick chewing of Dusty Baker.
Nice.
As my favorite, one of my favorite traditions. You could always tell Dusty was, stone cold, but you could always tell how he was feeling based on how that toothpick was getting gnawed down on. So you could always tell when old Dusty was getting a little nervous during a game, because he would just be, going to town on a toothpick, and it would be down to like a little nub. And it was always like, oh God, what's going on in Dusty's mind? So that was always one of my favorite things about Dusty.
I miss Dusty.
I really do too.
I wasn't mad when they hired Price. I was mad they fired Dusty.
Yeah.
I just love Dusty, the way he looks sometimes too with his wristbands. Like the more and more barrel chested he got, and like he was just like getting fatter, but his arms were staying skinny. So he looks so awkward.
His legs were twigs too.
He was like that cool dad that wasn't cool anymore, but nobody told him. So he was like, I'm going to dress like all the players. Yeah.
Right.
He probably still wore spikes.
I'm surprised Bryce doesn't wear a suit to games.
That would be illegal.
Like the type.
All right, DB.
I got the next pick. We don't get to see it as much as we used to, but Tiger Woods wearing red on Sundays is probably one of my favorite sports traditions / superstitions. I guess he did it a lot as a kid and then just kind of kept the tradition going as he got better and more popular. But Tiger Woods on Sundays wearing that red, you knew that he was in it to win it, and that's kind of how we saw a lot of Masters and tours end was with him wearing that color.
Yep.
That was a good one. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Alrighty. My first one, this isn't necessarily sport-wide. It's just Cincinnati-wide. Disappointment.
Yeah,
my favorite tradition,
unlike any other.
Yeah,
is disappointment. Every season ends, and it's not like that was a great season. It was a hard fought series, or a hard fought AFC championship game. It's I cannot believe they found another way to lose. Like that is literally the way every single season ends.
And to kind of expand on that a little bit, it's not just disappointment as in like, oh, that was a bad season, I'm disappointed now. It's that there's always so much like hope and encouragement. Like, they've made these moves in the offseason. Like this team, look at them on paper, they're probably one of the best teams, whether it be the Bengals in recent years or, 5 years or so ago, the Reds, you kind of have that same conversation about them.
Yep.
And they always just fell off so short of that. Like it wasn't even close. So the fact that you get those high expectations and then to be disappointed, it makes it that much worse, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. Especially that year that the Bengals had T.O. and Chad, it seems so awesome. And it was just so awful.
Yeah.
The year that they got beat by the Steelers when Vontaze decided to go head hunting towards the end of the game and Jamil fumbled and all that. And that Pac-Man and Joey Porter, I beat the living fuck out of a trash can in my garage. I was certain I broke my wrist and hand like that night. Like I was I wasn't like upset when it happened. I was just numb, and I went to throw something away in the recycling bin outside, and I missed. It bounced off a pizza box that was already in there, and so I just took it out on the trash can next to it.
You know what? Fuck this trash can.
Yeah, it was like neighbors. That was literally the it was the can that broke the camel's back.
I was neighbors with T-Bone's parents, and they thought I chokeslammed my wife through the coffee table.
All right, Woody, what do you got?
So my first one, this is one of my favorite traditions in sports. It's the whole Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL draft.
That is awesome.
Awesome.
It's not even just he's Mr. Irrelevant. They get like an entire week out in California where they have like a festival and they celebrate him, and I think there's like a golf tournament and everything. Mm-hmm. And in recent years, I think there's been some Mr. Irrelevant who have actually like seen some decent playing time. I think the most successful one, at least in recent memory, is Ryan Succop, the kicker. He broke the rookie record for a field goal percentage, and I think he's with the Titans now. But you know, normally the you're picking the last round of the draft. Those guys barely even make the team half the time, but just the way they celebrate that, it's awesome. And I look, since they officially made that last pick in the draft be Mr. Irrelevant, the Bengals have never had Mr. Irrelevant. So I think if you want to look to the franchise's lack of success, I mean, look no further than that. So if we can land us a Mr. Irrelevant, I think we could start to be relevant again.
We did it with Cedric O'Blehy.
Yeah.
He's irrelevant for other reasons.
Right, exactly.
Because he's not good.
Yeah. So then bringing it back around, my next favorite tradition is, and this is something I like just because personally this is one of my favorite beverages, but at the Indy 500, drinking the milk. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge milk fan, so.
I don't like that.
No, why?
Because I've been to a NASCAR event. I've gone with, Mac, and that's just cruelty. Like, it's so hot at a NASCAR event. That's just got to feel awful. And every time they drink that milk, I picture Anchorman. Oh, milk was a bad choice because it's just so hot at NASCAR events.
Ugh. Milk is never a bad choice, Hefe. It's nice and refreshing and cool.
No.
They even ask the drivers what kind of milk they prefer.
Chocolate.
I'm going chocolate.
I don't think I was that's gonna an say, option, I'm going chocolate.
Is soy milk an option, please?
Yeah. Can you just bring me the carton of almond milk? Yeah.
Yes.
I want everyone to know I pee sitting down. Alrighty. So, coming back around to me, I'm going to go out and say, I'm going to go with modified Major League Baseball hats when it gets cold out. It's one of my favorite things of the postseason. And it started out the first year or two. Guys were essentially just sewing beanies onto the bottom of their baseball hats. And now it's something you can buy through the MLB team shop. And it's a baseball hat that has little ear flaps. And it's kind of like an Elmer Fudd baseball hat. but they always find you always see guys modifying their uniforms or modifying their hats because it's so goddamn cold in the postseason. This last year it wasn't the case because we had LA and Houston. But that Cleveland Houston series that Hefe predicted, that could get pretty cold up in Cleveland on the lake this year. So I love cold baseball because then they'll always talk about how cold it is. It's in the same vein as the temperature on the field in college football at the beginning of the season. How they always have a thermometer down on the field. It's the same thing with playoff baseball. As soon as it gets below like 50 degrees during the game, all they do is talk about how cold it is, and seeing the guys act like they've never been in cold weather before is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been above 50 degrees for a Reds game this year?
The one game I went to, I think, was a little warm, but I think I've been to three.
So it depends on what day. There's probably been some days in the upper 70s and some days in the upper 30s, so in the same week.
I've been to three games so far, had tickets for four. One of them got rained out, and I think it's either rained or been freezing cold at all three of the games. The one was okay because it rained right before the game, and then it just got kind of humid, which is awkward for April. But
I don't know.
Cincinnati weather sucks.
Well, it's not just Cincinnati
now.
I think
it's true.
Yeah, and I don't know the exact stat, but I saw somewhere that somebody said that at this point in the season, there's been, I don't know if it's more or close to as many games that have been postponed because of weather than there were like all year last year.
Well, that's even a lot of the local high schools have barely played any games.
I feel like they're getting soft with it too, though. They're calling a lot of games like preemptively, whereas last year or like in years past, it was they wouldn't call it until maybe 10 o'clock that night. Like, hey, we're not going to get it in tonight. They're calling it mid-afternoon, just saying like it, thinking it's going to rain, and you never really saw that.
Yeah, that's kind of like when you hear about snow delays at the school we used to go to. It's like, what the hell?
Fucking millennials.
All right, I used to walk up a hill.
I got the next pick, and when I was, I sensed a theme when I was doing some research for this. This is more of a, I guess, a superstition than anything else. But I'm drafting urine because UFC fighter Lyoto Machida used to drink his pee.
The dragon.
Which is fucking weird. Mm-hmm. Moises Alou used to pee on his hands to toughen him up. Yeah. Mark Slaris used to piss himself before every game, which is where he got the nickname Stink. And there's a soccer goalie that used to pee on the field in like the corners, almost marking his territories. So yeah, I'm drafting urine because there's a lot of weird shit that guys do with their bodily fluids.
Yeah. That's a good one. Hefe, what you got?
Gross. I am going to do a shout out to Mrs. Mack and say the Lambeau Leap.
Nice.
I'm a big fan of the Lambeau Leap. It's one of the oldest traditions in football. So it's just awesome to see, especially the big dudes when they score, like a BJ Raji. Like when they score, like to try and attempt the Lambeau Leap is pretty funny. And I also liked when Chad attempted it and got a beer dumped on him. So
fun fact, yeah, I got a Lambeau Leap.
Yeah, Lambeau Leap, definitely. One of the coolest traditions. And then going back to another really cool football tradition, the Play Like a Champion sign for Notre Dame is one of my favorite traditions of all time. If for those of you that don't know about it, they slap a sign as they're going onto the field that says Play Like a Champion. So it's pretty cool.
So many teams have adopted like a similar thing where you got to touch this before you head out of the locker room. That happens at a lot of places now. Notre Dame's
like the original.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And I could be wrong, but I feel like that's the first one I ever heard doing it. So
yeah. All right. My final pick is going to be wearing the same clothes over and over as like some sort of superstition. Serena Williams did it with her socks. Like she wouldn't change them during a tournament. She wouldn't ever change her socks, which is fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sidney Crosby picks out a hat before the season starts and only wears that hat before and after games. Welcome. And then there was a pitcher for the Giants named Stephen Klein that never washed his hat and would wear the same nasty hat in every single baseball game. So I mean, like it happens a lot with clothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did this all the time in college. It had nothing to do with superstition.
No, that's true.
I'd go flip the underwear inside out.
Wear the same pair of sweatpants for like a week at a time and not just like, I'd wear them every single day that week. Like, I wouldn't take them off. Like, I'd shower and I'd throw them right back on, and I slept in them. I wore them to class. And,
yeah. Oh, there was Michael Jordan used to do it too with his
UNC
shorts underneath his. And I was never sure if that was something that he actually did or if it's just from the movie Space Jam. Because
yeah, I wasn't ever sure.
I'm not sure if that's real or not.
I guess we'll Caron
Butler
now.
Had another.
No, I'll ask him when I talk to him next time.
Yeah.
All right, my last pick. I'm going to say, fans of different sports clashing online. So you see it depending on which seasons are overlapping. You see it a lot. You see baseball versus football. You see hockey versus basketball. See hockey versus baseball, the fake football versus other sports. Yeah. Like it's like all these, you know, these clashings of my sport's better than your sport, and this is why. And you're not going to convince me that two sports can exist at the same time.
Yeah.
And it just
all right. We'll give you 30 seconds to bash hockey.
Yeah, like those. Yeah. Yeah, but no, those I like watching those online or watching those unfold because I'm never involved in them. I accidentally get dragged into them from time to time when, like, I think I wrote that one article that had some FC Cincinnati fans triggered, but it wasn't my intention to piss them off necessarily.
These baseball guys.
Yeah. Like, I'm not a baseball guy. I like sports.
Yeah.
I'm not so narrow-minded that I can only like soccer. Like, there are other things in the world. God, there I can't wait till we don't get an MLS bid in Cincinnati.
I can't wait till ticket prices shoot up till 60, 70 bucks a ticket and everybody goes.
That's going to happen too.
Yeah.
All right, Woody, bring us home.
finish it strong.
Well, I don't know about that, but
oh, coughing. Great tradition.
Coughing. Yeah. Yep. My favorite tradition is coughing. I don't know. One of the superstitions that I've always found interesting that I've never, I don't understand. I guess I understand the thought process behind it, but not talking about a no hitter. I always like that. And yeah. I like kind of the opposite effect too, when you have a no hitter going against your team. Like, and you see everyone on Twitter like saying, "Oh, look, he's got a no hitter going," trying to like reverse jinx it. But I just feel like that'd be so awkward, like in the moment, like in the dugout, and you got the pitcher there, and like nobody's talking to him, and you're just sitting there. I feel like if I were the pitcher, I'd want someone to talk to me, just to like keep me like my mind from focusing on it, because I would. Yeah, I would way overthink things, but
like, don't treat me any
just
different.
Just staring at that zero under the H.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but I guess that's why I'm here and not in on a major league roster somewhere, because
that's why.
Because I'd let them talk to me during my no hitters. That, and I probably can't even throw from pitcher's mound to home plate. But hey,
your shoulder's fine. All right, so a couple honorable mentions I have is Les Miles eating grass.
Oh, I had that one too. That's, in fact, I was going to mention it and then I forgot.
Yeah, that's such a weird like little thing that he does. Yeah. Another one that the weirdest one that I came across was golfer Ernie Els. Maybe it's not the weirdest one, but it was interesting. It's different than all the other ones. And he believed that each golf ball only has one good score in it. So after he makes a birdie or an eagle with the ball, he throws it out and gets a new one.
Nice.
I do that too, but I usually hit it in the woods or in the water. I only use I go at least 13 balls one round of golf.
Yeah, I go through a couple balls a hole.
Anyone else have good honorable mentions?
I had a couple honorable mentions. The Clemson football running down the hill.
I always want to see him eat it.
I know.
I know, and that's why. That's why I like it. I completely have a bad reason for. I just hope somebody goes end over end, and it's so bad to wish for, but it would be so awesome.
I know. I love when cheerleaders get trucked in those videos of the high school kid trying to bust through the paper.
I know.
One of the less well known ones that I had was Taylor University. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. They do Silent Night where they don't cheer until their team scores 10 points.
Yep.
So they like throw their hands up in silence, and then as soon as they score 10 points, they just go nuts.
Yeah.
I also had John Henderson's face slap, but that was just because Andrew Whitworth punked him out. And I'm sure Andrew Whitworth was a little scared because Henderson was a nutcase. And then the script Ohio. I was surprised that Woody didn't mention that. That was my last one.
Calling you out. I had some honorable mentions. I said nobody touching the conference championship trophy in hockey.
Yeah.
I don't know what their names are anymore now that they're not. It used to be when everything was named weird for the different divisions and conferences. But that's the tradition. You don't touch the conference championship trophy because it shouldn't mean anything until you get to the cup.
Right.
Playoff beards. That was kind of one of the things that I brought up that earlier this week when we were planning as an example of things that we enjoy in the superstition category, bandwagon and Twitter, Facebook arguments. When guys and girls haven't been fans of a team for more than, you know, that playoff run or even that new season. And they try to have an argument online, and you can tell that they just have no idea what they're talking about. Those are usually pretty funny. Yeah. And I had this one written down before Popovich's wife passing away. That's why I left it out of my actual list. But someone's loved one dying, and that being like the rallying cry around a team.
Yeah.
Seems like it happens every single year in like the playoffs of college football. Someone's friend or family member just got killed, or someone's family member just died of an illness that they've been battling for, you know, 15 years. It seems to happen, and it's always a feel-good story, and typically those guys end up winning the championship. So if anyone on the Blue Jackets has a relative they're not a huge fan of, maybe start hiding the medicine. I don't know.
Jesus. I had a couple as well. Kind of along the same lines as the not touching the championship trophies, conference championship trophies in hockey is not stepping on the logo in the locker room, which who was it?
Bieber.
Was it Bieber? Yeah, Bieber was it the Penguins? Bieber and the Penguins.
Or Blackhawks, I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. So that caused all kinds of trouble there. The hockey handshake line, because hockey's the only sport where they shake the opponent's hands, apparently. Yeah. one that's kind of gone now that I'm going to miss is debating whether or not this year will be the year that a 16 seed finally beats a 1 seed.
That was
always one of my favorite discussions, and now we've kind of lost that. So,
damn.
Next year will be weird, but you know we'll deal with that when we get to it. And then one that I absolutely hate that I feel like needs to go away because the people that do this are trash, the organization is trash, and it just should just be gone from the world is Red Wings fans throwing octopus on the or octopi on the ice.
Yeah, that's weird.
Don't do that. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, you should do like a fish or something. I mean, come on.
No, don't throw animals on the fucking ice.
That's what fucking midgets are weirdos. For.
Yeah. Like, I can't, like, just going through the process of trying to, like, sneak that in, like, hiding inside your clothing, and just sitting there with, like, a dead octopus all with you the whole time. Like,
that's
very fitting for the people of Detroit. Like,
I
imagine you can't really tell the smell because Detroit smells like dead octopus anyway, so I guess that's how they get away with it. But there was a game, I feel like they did it in Columbus one year, and it was just a regular season game that didn't mean anything. Like, if you want to do that for a big playoff game, you know, you're still a trashy piece of shit, but at least it's okay. But for a fucking regular season game on the road, like, get the fuck out of here. You deserve to have your ass kicked for that.
Well, fuck Detroit. How about that?
Fuck the Red Wings. Fuck the
It wasn't
Capitals.
Octopi the one time. It was the St. Paddy's Day game against.
Yeah, the beads. They were throwing they the were fucking throwing St. Paddy's Day beads. Yeah.
They're just a classy organization.
Detroit's, they're so fucking trashy. Red Wings fans are like Cardinals fans.
Yep. Except smarter. Although there's a lot fewer of them now, more recently. Which is
it's because of all that water they're drinking.
Yeah. Now I'm mad at Red Wings fans, and I should be mad at the fucking Jackets.
Yeah. Fuck.
So I know what I'm looking forward to next week.
What's that?
The NFL draft. Did you guys not know this? That it's coming next Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, we know.
Keep up when it is because of all the mock drafts. Like,
I hate drafts.
There have been like 5 weeks that have started that I'm like, oh, I think this must be the week of the NFL draft because I keep seeing like mock draft 7.0. And I don't know how things change.
I've literally seen everything listed from the Bengals. The only thing I haven't seen is the Bengals taking a punter. Everything
no one
else
fucking knows what anybody's going to do.
They're going to take the best available and the best value. Done. That's my mock draft.
Whoever recently got arrested or accused of something terrible in college, start looking
really
for apartments.
Ceiling, some red flags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think we're going to take that tackle from Notre Dame because I don't think he's like beat any women or I don't think he's been arrested.
There's still time. I mean, he had the whole, you know, Jeremy Tunsil with his, you know, his bong.
He might go for the night before the draft.
His gas mask bong, the night before. So we could have some sleepers where somebody comes out and it, you know, comes out of nowhere. You know, someone like Hefe combing through, you know, Billy Price's Twitter account and find something problematic that
Yeah.
He'll jack some communion wine from a chapel.
Yeah.
That'll be the big scandal.
So a lot of people were excited this past week that Lamar Jackson visited the Bengals camp.
I don't know how to feel about it.
I don't hate the guy. I think he'd be great. I mean,
I don't
think
either.
He's good. I don't know that he's necessarily.
But if you take a quarterback at 21, that's a franchise quarterback. And I don't agree that Dalton's on a downturn, but I don't know how you sit a guy that's first round 21st pick.
I mean, what was Carson? He was number one overall, right? Or was he top three?
That's true.
Yeah.
I feel like the NFL's changed since Carson.
So. Oh, that's true. That's true.
So yeah. Kitna was holding
off. Dalton's no Kitna, that's for sure.
And I do think if they were to draft Jackson, I feel like they would find ways to use him, even if Dalton was the starter. But I also
like at receiver.
Oh God!
But I'm also not a fan of that.
It's weird. But I'm also not a fan of the Wildcat package converted stuff. To receiver at the draft.
I know.
Matt Jones maybe
should have been Tebow.
Matt Jones was one, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I guess that's about it. Tebow should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end, but yeah.
Tannehill went the opposite way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, man, I just don't know how to feel about the Lamar Jackson thing because I don't know. I don't want to get too into it because I'll end up mocking and doing everything I hate. So
no, and
it
would be the most perfect thing in the world to happen though too because he's been an absolute clusterfuck during this whole process because he hasn't hired an agent. I think that he and his mom.
My mom's doing my recruiting.
Yeah, exactly. He literally is like that. Is that situation?
She's got
like he and his mom are doing all of his pre-draft. You know. Like, I don't even know how to just, like, all of everything that goes into someone before the draft, like, that his mom's handling it rather than an agent or a marketing team or whatever.
What do you think of Lamar? I think he's really cute and he's my son.
So it would be fitting for the Bengals to pick him and then just be an absolute disaster come.
Yeah.
So
he's just one of those dudes I could see being a bust.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because he's a good stats college guy and I don't like.
We don't like guys that were good in college.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Those fucking Heisman Trophy winners are frauds.
With quarterbacks, I just think it's just such a trap because it's like, oh, yeah, he was such a good. He had 7,000 yards in college. Let's
it's
make
a trap.
Him an NFL quarterback.
Well, yeah, I think, I don't know. It's interesting. Late, usually there's something to it when there's such a late visit made. We did the same thing with. What's his name? The fuck did we draft last year? John Ross. Same thing with John Ross, where he wasn't even on anyone's
radar. You couldn't
radar.
Remember because you didn't see him.
And then he got drafted and didn't play. But I'm looking forward to being fucking miserable about the Jackets. So they, like Witty said earlier, they play 3:00 on Saturday. I'll actually be in Columbus. The Jackets will be in Washington. So our wires got crossed somewhere. I don't know. Why they didn't take my schedule into account when they got this playoff series underway.
Yeah.
But no, I'll be in Columbus watching it. It's early in the day, so I guess I've got the rest of the night to drink away my sorrows. But, and then I don't even know when game 6 is, but I'm not
Tuesday.
Looking. Tuesday it is. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a Thursday to Tuesday stretch is going to be miserable after they lose game 5 in Washington. I'm just going to call it now. They're going to get run out of the building.
I like the reverse jinx. Good job.
Yeah.
I am heading to Gatlinburg tomorrow morning, or this morning. So I'm excited to – I'm heading towards Predators country. So
there you go.
I'm excited for that because Gatlinburg is awesome.
I am looking forward to absolutely nothing right now.
Wow.
You say that a lot.
This weekend or just life in general?
Both.
Yeah. I was gonna say, he says that a lot. We might want to do some
No, I was wrong. Game 6 will be on Monday. So.
Okay, so that shortens my depression by a day. That's all right.
Yeah. So.
That's not
healthy. As if Mondays weren't depressing enough already.
Right, I know. Exactly. That's not healthy for
us. I'm just going to skip Monday, I think.
Just gonna stop going.
I think Monday or no, I'm gonna say it now. Monday is clinch day for the Jackets. They clinched the series on Monday after winning on Saturday. I have a good feeling.
All of the reverse jinx work I just worked on.
No.
I know. You're undermining.
We're covering both sides. We can't both be wrong.
What if they're still playing overtime periods come Monday?
Ooh.
That's what's going to happen is they're going to sweep and then get swept because they've played so many overtimes.
They can't sweep if they've already lost 2 games.
I mean, they're
going to win and then they're going
to clinch is what I meant to say. They're going to clinch and then get swept is what I meant to say.
Yeah, we'll see.
When they play in the finals against the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
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 Dicks.
I don't know. It's Caps here.
Yeah, it is every year. Well, if you want to see how miserable we are every single day, Follow us on Twitter. The main account for the website is Miller and Sports. All of our Twitter handles are in the bio for that handle. Check us out on the website, millironsports.com. Our Facebook page basically just regurgitates the same stuff off of our website, but there's some other stuff there too. Facebook.com/millironsports. And check us out on Instagram at millironsports. Same handle as our Twitter handle. Happy birthday, Don Mattingly.
Go Jackets.
Go Wriggleman.
Go Reds.